The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Tudor Dixon Podcast. I am excited today because we have a sheriff from right here in the beautiful state of Michigan, and he is such an amazing guy. He gave me a lot of advice when I was running for governor, and he has done great things for the state of Michigan. He is the Oakland County Sheriff. His name is Mike Bouchard, and he oversees one of the largest sheriff's offices in the nation. And I want to get to everything that's going on and how we can be fighting crime better and what he's seeing on the ground. But first, I want to give you a quick update on how you can help out the folks that are going through all of this in Israel right now. It's been about 6 months since the brutal attack by Hamas. But as you know, this is an ongoing war, and our brothers and sisters in Israel need our help. Since October, the attacks on Israel have only increased, especially in the north. The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews is on the ground now, addressing all the needs as they come in. And I just want you to know that your life-saving donation today can help provide a bomb shelter in that area of Israel that needs it the most. You have to understand, when the siren goes off, people only have 15 seconds or less to get to safety. 20 people can fit inside of each one of these mobile bomb shelters. They're constructed to withstand rocket attacks, and they meet the standards approved by the IDF. IFCJ has helped renovate and install nearly 3,000 bomb shelters. The cost of one bomb shelter is $15,000, and the goal for April is 5 bomb shelters. We're asking our listeners to give just $50. If 300 of you give just $50, we'll have a new bomb shelter installed. And if you're able to increase that and share your generosity and give 500 or more, your name will be included on a special plaque placed on the bomb shelter. To help, make sure you visit supportifcj.org. That's one word. It's supportifcj.org. Thank you. And now I want to bring you in, Sheriff Bouchard. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Pleasure.
You know, I've been watching what's going on with these house break-ins. I think we've all kind of seen this in across the country. We've really seen this concern over what we think is Chilean gangs. And that's why I wanted to have you on. I wanted you to explain exactly what's going on. I think it's really scary when you see this from the perspective of a homeowner. Gosh, this could happen anywhere if it's happening in Oakland County. So can you get into a little bit about what you're seeing there?
Yeah, so we became aware of a spike in a particular home burglary style, MO, as we call it in our business, method of operation. In 23 and maybe in the very beginning of 20, 22, just a little bit of a sprinkle there. But in 23, it really ramped up dramatically. And by the end of 23, we were getting hammered, multiple burglaries every week. And we determined through a lot of investigation and partnering with our law enforcement partners and agencies across the country that this was what they call transnational gang burglary crews. And for us, the ones that had been hitting us so tremendously hard were Chilean gangs. And we knew that for a fact, ultimately, because we actually had arrested seven individuals in two different crews. One crew was focused on high-end home burglaries, and the other was doing armed robberies of jewelry stores. So they had done two robberies of jewelry stores in Oakland County and were caught coming out of the second one by the Violent Crime Task Force, which is kind of a cooperative effort with the FBI and state and local agencies that's housed right here on my campus. And they caught them coming out of a jewelry store robbery. The other crew had been caught actually by a different police agency, but our investigators were able to piece together evidence and place them in numerous burglaries across the state of Michigan, but a number of them right here in Oakland County, and we got charges on them. All seven were from Chile.
So if they are they seeking asylum? Are they just coming over here and sneaking in? How do you know that, and what can be done about that?
So the way these transnational gangs are operating, there's two kind of distinct methodologies. One's they're calling the tourist burglars, where they're using a lower scrutiny process called Visa Waiver Program, VWP. And through the VWP, they can apply online, which gets a lot less scrutiny and kind of background vetting, if you will, than a traditional visa. And once they get here, they basically completely violate all conditions of the VWP. And we don't even know for sure sometimes who they are, even when they apply. And they get.
Is that program specific to Chile, or is that other countries as well?
Well, it's specific to Chile in this case, as they're the only country in South America that is able to utilize the VWP as determined by our country. There are other countries across the world that have VWP, but Chile's the only one in South America. Colombia has applied to get that same program as well. And so the ones that we have caught all utilized that program, immediately got into the country, got fake identities, had been highly, highly trained, came equipped and skilled, almost like a special ops team, to then apply their trade, which was to attack either homes or jewelry stores. And they were doing it with great precision. They were at one point probably taking almost a million a week out of Oakland County.
Wow. Now, when they go into these homes, is this an operation where they know the people are not home, or has anyone ever been home when this has happened?
So, yes to both. They try to do it when no one's home, but sometimes people have changed their pattern of life, if you will, and they have been home, surprising the burglars who the Chileans typically have fled. They seem to be non-confrontational. The Colombian transnational gangs that are hammering other areas have not been the same modality. They're more than happy to be confrontational or even be armed. So far, the Chileans have fled. So they do a lot of what we call pre-op surveillance, where they determine pattern in life, where they determine whether you're going to be home or not, when you go out to dinner, when you go on vacation, if you're a snowbird and you head south, all of those things. They do it in a variety of methodologies, sometimes trail cam, sometimes tracker on cars, sometimes drone. You know, they use a variety of things to determine best times to attack a home and from where to attack it. They like homes that back up to like woods or golf courses or something that have kind of a less observed approach point. And typically they come in through the back. Lots of times they even go to the second story. They pop out the window with a glass punch. They go through a window or door. They don't open it. And they use very sophisticated technology, almost electronic warfare, if you will, where they jam signals. So if you have a wireless wireless alarm, wireless sensors, glass breaks, etc., they'll jam those and your alarm system will never go off or communicate out.
And so then can they do video cameras still work, or how does that work?
Only if you got hardwired equipment. So These jammers can jam a variety of frequencies. The more expensive wireless sometimes have the ability to rotate and look for a way to get that signal through, but we've not seen one that's successfully done that here.
Wow. So this program, this visa program, my understanding is that there has been a congressman, I believe, who has called to stop this visa program. Is that correct?
A number of people have called to have it stopped, and it's still ongoing, obviously. And the point of it is this: if they just stop the VWP program for Chile, they can still come and visit. They have to get a traditional visa, and that comes with a higher level of scrutiny and different conditions. So it doesn't stop people that are legitimately coming here to visit. It just makes sure that this program, which is highly abused, and it's actually termed, you can Google it, they're tourist burglars, tourist criminals, tourist transnational gangs that are coming here with the intent of violating the country on a variety of levels. And like I said, it's all across the country. The last intelligence estimate that I saw, just the Chilean gangs alone, which are typically 4 to 6 people, are over 100 teams in operation right now in America.
Oh, my word. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So you are actually working nationwide. You've seen this in other states as well. It's not just Michigan.
Yes. Yeah. I tuned into it very quickly when I saw the trend and connected with my national and federal partners. And actually then I took it a step further. I created a task force right here in Southeast Michigan with three counties, local, state, and federal agencies who all willingly jumped on board to help combat this together. Because we know that they're moving, you know, they'll hit an area for 3-4 days, maybe a week or so, and then on to another community. It could be Ohio, Indiana. I know they've been hammering Arizona lately. We know California is getting hammered, Virginia, New York. They're all across the country, Florida.
So you feel like you do have the support of state and federal behind this?
Well, qualified. You know, the state and federal worker bees, the state certainly, yes, the federal agencies, the agents and the folks, they all want to very much help and be involved and stop it. But the policy level, the policymakers higher up in Washington haven't done anything to help or stop.
So what do you think the answer is to getting these gangs out? I mean, is it just an arrest and deport or?
No,
the
ultimate answer. I mean, we're, you know, literally putting our finger in the dike trying to stop a flood. The ultimate answer is to stop it where it's coming from. And it's coming two ways. It's either violating the VWP, the visa waiver program, or it's coming illegally across the southern border. Those are the two modalities. So obviously securing the border and moving back to a traditional visa are the ways to stem the tide, if you will. The other thing, ultimately, we're going to have to work with our partners. The international partners in those countries and our international agencies to figure out where these people are being so highly trained. I mean, basically, it's like operating a terrorist training camp in a different country to get them ready to come here and commit crime in our country. And so obviously they're being trained very well somewhere. Where and how can we put a stop to that collectively?
Where are they staying when they come? Do you have any idea? Are they being sponsored by people? Are they staying in hotels?
It's kind of a mix, but it's very transient. So sometimes it's hotels, sometimes it's Airbnb. We know because of COVID, a lot of apartment complexes changed all of their application to an online. So they use false ID. They do applications to an apartment and they get it. They rent it for a period of time. They use it for as long as they want to be in that area. They abandon that ID and they move on. So, you know, it can be in a variety of places because they are so very transient.
You mentioned seeing this in 22 and 23. Is this new from those years or have you seen this in the past?
It was new to us a little bit, as I said, just and really didn't come on our radar in 22. By 23, we were really getting a ramp up and a spike. And, you know, I did a deep dive and started contacting our partners. I'm head of government affairs for Major County Sheriffs of America. So I reached out to some of the other big sheriff's offices in the country and found out, you know, we have a problem and this is what's going on and this is where it's coming from. And this is what we needed to be prepared for and to start engaging.
Well, we have another problem, and that is fentanyl. And I'm just seeing all this discussion right now about China wanting to continue to ship fentanyl and getting money from the United States to continue to produce more fentanyl. There was a big fentanyl bust in Detroit just a couple of weeks ago. I actually was, when I was campaigning, I came through your crime lab, which is one of the only crime labs in the state, and I believe the largest crime lab in the state of Michigan. And I have to say, it was a moment that was very surreal to me because you see this on TV and they show you, you know, these big blocks of drugs. But when we were in your crime lab, one of the analysts brought out, she's like, well, this is what I'm looking at today. And it was strange to me because it was like a brick. And she said it was fentanyl. And it had the Jeep logo that was pressed into this brick. Yeah. What? Why is it like that? Why are we seeing that?
So, you know, everybody does branding, including drug dealers. So they come up with their own logos, their own branding to kind of get their own street recognition. So people would seek out their particular brand, if you will. What we're seeing is the fentanyl, because of China, China has actual factories that are producing the precursors and the chemicals for fentanyl, synthetic fentanyl, and other kinds of drug activity that comes out of China and then flows into America in a variety of ways, including illegal shipping, but probably most of it's coming across the southern border or other ways. And it's now got to such a point where fentanyl is so incredibly cheap and the distribution of it is so wide and broad that you almost have no idea what you're getting fentanyl in, because it's being used as an additive or a kicker in almost everything, even marijuana. If you purchase marijuana on the street, it could be laced with fentanyl these days. And so my suggestion is to folks, you know, marijuana is legal in Michigan. Go to a licensed, inspected, and regulated marijuana dispensary if you're going to smoke or use marijuana, because if you buy it in the street, you have no idea if it's laced with fentanyl. And fentanyl, if it, depending on the strength of that particular synthetic or the, whatever you're getting, even the head of a pin can kill you. And so we're seeing it put into counterfeit pills. Like a kid may think they're going to buy an Adderall or a Valium to get ready for finals or something like that. And they're getting a counterfeit pill that they have pill presses, and it looks like the pill you think you want, but it's got fentanyl in it. And one pill can kill. And we're actually holding a town hall to better educate the community on that tonight, to focus on helping people understand how prevalent this is, how far spread it is, that it's everywhere. I mean, my daughter played soccer with a lot of people. And of that people, that's my work phone, of those people that she played soccer with, three of them have already perished from an overdose. So the path to addiction and the path to overdose and death comes in a variety of ways, including sports injuries, which is what happened with those three young girls, that they had sports injuries. And when the pain meds ran out, they went to the street to get something of equivalent, and they ended up dying. And so
that is so common. I mean, I've heard so many of these stories of parents who children in their late teens and 20s who had exactly what you're saying, who had an injury in high school, ended up getting some sort of prescription medication. And then when it ran out, it's just so easy to have somebody say, this is a Percocet, or this is that, or this is something safe, and you purchase it. And then they find their own, child in their room dead.
Right. And some of those parents are going to speak at our town hall. And to go back to the crime lab, in our crime lab, I asked them at one point to do kind of just an anecdotal, what are you seeing today in terms of what you're testing? And that included like cocaine, heroin, other kinds of drugs. In 80% of what they tested, there was a fentanyl component. So like I said, wow. It's being dumped into so many different things, and you have no idea. Obviously, there's no quality control or inspection for what you're buying on the street. And they don't care if you live or die, because there's another customer around the corner.
I think that there is such a feeling of safety around marijuana these days. And it was something that a lot of sheriffs across the state of Michigan said to me, well, we've got the licensed growers, and then we have this black market. And the black market has grown, but, you know, we're not really going after it right now. But that was, they at that point, they weren't saying, well, there's fentanyl in the black market. But the interesting thing to me is that also when I would meet with growers, they would say, oh, we're under such scrutiny. They come into our grow operation every week, and we have all of these tests that we have to turn in. I think that's important for people to know, though, that these people who are legally selling marijuana have to go through the state, and the state has to make sure that this does not have anything outside of marijuana. It doesn't have these dangerous drugs. When you are in a state that where marijuana is legal, if you're buying it on the black market, you are in grave danger.
100%. Well, it also undercuts those people that are paying the taxes and the regulatory fees to do it right. And we've seen in other states, including California, where the cartel has moved in heavily into the marijuana trade inside the state of California, because they can undercut the prices, and they use their, you know, very violent tactics to go after the share of the market. And so you've seen California try to react to that. And, you know, we need to have very tough laws about people that are operating the black market in legitimate businesses that are legal, because it completely undermines both the legal business and the safety of that business if you don't. You know, as you said and I've said, you have no idea what you're getting from these black market folks because they don't care about that safety. They don't have the inspections and the regulatory process. And you have no idea whatsoever of whether it's got adulterated components like fentanyl, whether it's got dust mites or mold, all of the things that could dramatically affect your health.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun,
and I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I like that you're doing a town hall on this stuff, and I'm wondering if this is something that, as a state, we need to do more education on. There's a couple of things that I want to talk about education on. This is one, and I love that you're doing this town hall. The other one, there is a new law that passed that is, if you have an unsecured gun and a child gets a hold of it and something happens, you are held accountable, and that's a crime. I am in complete support of securing your weapon. Whether or not that's a law, I think that it needs to be people need to be educated on it. Do you feel like people in the state of Michigan, this just happened again last week where a grandparents had an unsecured gun and a little child ended up dying because they got a hold of the gun. Do you feel like there's been enough education in these areas when it comes to the safety of marijuana or this particular law?
Yeah. I mean, we try to do the safety instructions and education process and to do a lot of that outreach. And we have for a long time. I started giving out gun locks probably 15 years ago, maybe or more, for free, and tried to do education on that. I mean, if you're a gun owner, you've got to be a responsible gun owner. That's a no-brainer. I mean, I was a police officer for almost the vast majority of my kids' life, so I always had weapons. But I also treated them with respect and made sure when the kids were little, they were secured and properly out of their reach. And then as they grew older, I taught them weapon safety. I taught them how to respect that weapon, how to treat it as if it's loaded at all times. And then even then, I didn't leave it for them to, you know, get curious about until they were the age where I'm confident they were well trained. And ultimately, I got a, you know, active duty military son and a police officer. So I guess they learned pretty well. So, you know, that's a process that I was a responsible adult and a responsible weapon holder. You should do. So us teaching that is important and us sharing that information. I mean, you think it's common sense, but common sense seems to be very uncommon.
I think you think it is common sense, but all of these things, I think education is always a good thing to make sure that people know and people are aware. And oftentimes I do think that there are situations where a grandparent doesn't think that kids will be over. You know, they just don't think about it anymore because their kids are older. And even, you know, we had someone on the podcast who their son went to a friend's house, and it didn't strike me until I saw their story out there about the friend going over, the son going to a friend's house. And I thought, gosh, do I then go to the parents of all of my kids' friends and say, hey, do you have a weapon and do you have it secured? And it's a conversation I hadn't thought about before, but I think that as I've been educated on this, even though I don't have a gun in the house, it's made me think about, well, who else do I know that might?
Well, 100%. And that's an education process with you and your kids. So I used to have that conversation when I had young kids that, look, if you go to a house and somebody pulls out a weapon, you leave. Walk out of the house and leave. I will come get you anywhere, no questions asked. Because it's not that that kid is intending to get anyone hurt, but I saw very personally a tragedy that happened less than a mile from my house where three or four kids were in a house and they found a weapon and they were looking at it and touching it, and it discharged and it shot this young girl and she was permanently paralyzed for the rest of her life. And that, you know, struck very close to my home. And so then I had that conversation with my kids as they were beginning to visit other kids' homes. Look, you know what a weapon looks like. You've seen me come home with one. I've trained you on them, but that doesn't mean anyone else has an idea of what they can do or how it can happen. And so if they pull out a firearm and they want to start looking at it or playing with it, leave. Don't engage them in conversations or try to teach them. Not your job. Your job is to leave and get out of that situation. So you have to have second layer conversations with your kids about what to do if they find themselves in unsafe situations. And that's just not firearms. That's, you know, I had that conversation with my kids about if they were driving somewhere to a party and the driver of their car started drinking, don't rely on them for a drive home. Again, call me or someone, no questions asked, we'll come get you. You know, what do you do when you find yourself in these situations? Those are conversations parents have to have in advance. But sometimes parents are so busy and they don't live in the world I live in where I see tragedy every right. day. So they may not think about these things. And that's why these educational outreaches and these town halls are important for them to go, oh my gosh, I never thought about that. I got to sit down with my son or daughter and talk to them about this, that, or the other.
Yeah, these are great PSAs because, I mean, life is busy. Sometimes we don't think about that. One other thing I want to hit before I let you go. In Michigan, we are in the top five for rapes per capita. The rape kits generally go to your lab, but you have told me in the past that if there were more resources in the state of Michigan to go after these people, then you think we could even reduce that number of rapes in the state. What do you think it would take to protect women and put more safeguards around women in the state?
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's an important topic to have resources put behind what you find is a problem. And for me, You know, I have seen sexual assault as one of the big problems going back early in my career. I worked on the Oakland County child killer as a very, very young police officer and later the Oakland County rapist. And it's part of what drove me in my short stint in politics when I was a state senator to write the Sex Offender Registry Act and to be very involved in victim rights legislation, because there are so many things that could and should be done for the victims of these crimes that I didn't see being done. And to this day, I still don't see some of the attention to that. You know, that's part of why I started a DNA crime lab here, so that we could give a quicker turnaround. You know, the state police do a great job, but again, they're under-resourced like everybody in public safety. And we had submitted a DNA sample to the state and waited almost 13 months on one case to get the results. And in the meantime, there were two more victims. And so that's when I decided that I was going to try to hold that destiny in our own hands to help our victims have a quicker turnaround and to prioritize things as we needed in-house. And so we started our own DNA lab and have now we're a bit backlogged, but it's certainly not those kinds of timelines. But if we had more resources, we wouldn't be backlogged.
I think it's one of those things that people don't think about when we talk about defunding the police and taking resources away, that you are actually preventing crimes from happening, because those labs, that those resources, they show you who it is and who's going to do it again. And that's something that I think is critical for us as we move forward as a country and certainly as a state, that we say, we've got to get away from this mindset that we take money away from the people who protect us, because I really feel like that is the number one fundamental of government. You want a government that provides public safety. And I can't think of anything more important than making sure that predators who are out there are stopped before they can hurt another person.
100%. 100%. We're investigating criminal sexual conduct last night, and we now believe at least two or three other victims of young age from the same perpetrator. You'll find typically a perpetrator, once they become comfortable in whatever they're doing, begins to accelerate.
We appreciate everything that you do every day. Thank you so much. You're always out there talking about it too, and these PSAs. Tell us when you are going to have the town hall.
Well, the town hall on fentanyl is actually tonight. And then next month, we plan on doing a town hall on high-end burglaries and home safety. And we're going to do that in conjunction with the realtors, because last time realtors are in homes and they're concerned too.
Wonderful. All right. Well, we will keep our audience posted of when you're doing that. And we appreciate everything you do. Sheriff Mike Bouchard from Oakland County, Michigan, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And thank you all for joining us on the Tudor Dixon Podcast. For this episode and others, go to TudorDixonPodcast.com. You can subscribe right there or head over to the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, and join us next time. Have a blessed day.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick Podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.